It all comes down to what's called the quality of life. If somebody's hormones are out of balance, creating, you know, some physical issues, then it's worthwhile to replace hormones. What's nice about progesterone cream, because it blocks the three most toxic hormones in the body, it provides many benefits. Progesterone is in the bloodstream for only about 5 or 6 minutes. The effect would last for hours on insulin and adrenaline. Adrenaline is a hormone that most people have heard of, but nobody really ever talks about it. And yet it's the underlying cause of many conditions felt to be incurable.
Welcome to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast, where we meet the world's top experts to explore the secrets of health, mindset, longevity, and so much more. Are you ready to take charge of your existence and biohack your life? This show is for you. Please keep in mind, we're not dispensing medical advice and are not responsible for any outcomes you may experience from implementing the tactics lying herein. Are you ready? Let's do this. Welcome back to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast. Friends, I have been so eager to release this episode. Oh my goodness. Ever since I first read Dr. Michael Platt's book all about the role of hormones and especially things like progesterone, I bought his progesterone cream. I had actually been using progesterone supplementation for years. I saw a massive difference with his cream. And then I talk about this in the episode, but I turned my sister onto it who struggles with PMDD, and it got rid of her PMDD like in a week. I'm not making that up. She was shocked. Since then, I've also turned multiple other people onto it, and they've reported back that it just obliterated things like hot flashes. This is truly, truly incredible. Guys, get this cream. There is a discount if you go to plattwellness.com/discount/Melanie Avalon. So that's plattwellness.com/discount/Melanie Avalon. And then you can use the coupon code Melanie Avalon. That will get you 10% off. There's also another coupon code, Melanie Avalon 10, that will also give you 10% off. You can try either of those. The show notes for today's episode will be at melanieavalon.com/progesterone. Those show notes will have a full transcript, so definitely check that out. There will be two episode giveaways for this episode. One will be in my Facebook group, IF Biohackers, Intermittent Fasting plus Real Foods plus Life. Comment something you learned or something that resonated with you on the pinned post to enter to win something that I love. And then check out my Instagram. Also find the announcement post about this episode to enter to win something that I love. Hey friends. Did you know that one of our largest sources of toxic exposure each and every day is through our skincare and makeup? It is so frightening the effects these compounds can have on our health. So we put these products on to help us look better, and yet they actually can be aging us, contributing to health issues, fertility issues, thyroid issues, mood issues, and ready for something potentially even more shocking? A lot of these endocrine disruptors are actually obesogens, meaning they cause your body to gain weight and make it harder to lose weight. That's right, your skincare and makeup may be hindering your weight loss goals. Europe has banned thousands of these compounds, and the US has banned around a dozen. There's even a loophole from the 1960s that allows companies to put whatever they want in their products, and they don't even have to tell you. That's why I am overwhelmingly careful about the skincare and makeup that I use. But here's the thing, it can be hard to find skincare and makeup that is non-toxic and actually works. And then on top of that, that actually has all the products you need. I have found two companies, I am obsessed with their standards and use them every single day of my life and cannot recommend them enough. That's Counter, formerly known as Beauty Counter, and Crunchy. Both of these companies have incredible standards when it comes to what they put in their products. You can truly feel good about using them, and they actually work. For Counter products, go to melanieavalon.com/counter. And for Crunchy products, go to crunchy.com. That's crunchy.com/Melanie Avalon. New Crunchy customers can use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 to get 10% off. You'll also receive something special from me after your first order. I also highly recommend joining both of their loyalty programs. It's completely free to join, and with every purchase, you'll earn credit as well as other fun goodies. For all the latest updates, new products, specials, deals, and fun things for me, because yes, I love giving things away, get on my email list. That's at Melanie. melanieavalon.com/cleanbeauty. You can also get text updates when you text skincare to 877-861-8318. That's skincare to 877-861-8318. So again, to shop with me and get a free gift from me after your first order, go to melanieavalon.com/counter and also crunchy.com/melanieavalon. And new customers use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 at Crunchy to get 10% off site-wide. And again, definitely join their free loyalty programs to earn credit on every order. Hey friends, exciting news. My Avalon X Spirulina is back in stock and now at a reduced price. Plus you get free shipping and my coupon code works on top of that sale price. Spirulina is honestly one of the most nutrient-dense things that you can put in your body in a whole foods, easy to eat form. It's a blue-green algae, which is a complete vegan protein packed with an incredible array of nutrients. We are talking 100% of your daily hard-to-get vitamin K, 625% of vitamin B12, over 1,000% of vitamin A, 86% of chromium, 27% of vitamin B2, plus so much more, including iron, GLA, the powerful antioxidant superoxide dismutase, and even glutathione. In fact, spirulina is so uniquely nutritious that it was actually studied by NASA to support the astronauts. I searched high and low to find the very best spirulina out there. Ours comes from a wonderful, sustainable, clean, environmentally friendly production facility in Hawaii. Not Thailand, Hawaii. And then on top of that, we did our own third-party testing for over 70 pesticides, heavy metals, toxins, all the things. This is the cleanest spirulina out there. And with spirulina, you can simplify your supplement routine and support your nutrition in one easy step. The tablets are super versatile. You can swallow them whole, blend them into smoothies, crush them up, or honestly, just eat them like I do. And again, we were out of stock, but now Avalon X Spirulina is finally back in stock at a reduced price, and my coupon code MelanieAvalon works on top of that too. Plus, you get free shipping. Just go to avalonx.us/spirulina and use the coupon code MelanieAvalon to get 10% off our new reduced price plus free shipping. That's avalonx.us/spirulina with the coupon code MelanieAvalon. All right, without further ado, please enjoy this wonderful conversation with Dr. Michael Platt. Hi, friends. Welcome back to the show. I am so incredibly excited about the conversation that I am about to have, and I am so excited to tell you the backstory on what led up to this. So I have been very aware of the, I want to say obvious, importance of hormones in our health and our entire well-being, but I hadn't really done a deep, deep dive into the science of all of them and how they affect our body. I had just gone on my own rabbit hole tangents on the internet, learning about things. Interestingly enough, about 6 years ago, one of my holistic practitioners actually suggested that I take oral progesterone for various health-related issues. And I quickly did research and realized that probably wasn't what I should be doing. And I switched myself over to a progesterone cream. And I've been very fascinated with the role of progesterone in health. So I was super excited to be exposed to the work of Dr. Michael Platt. He has a few books, but I in particular read his two books. One, The Miracle of Bioidentical Hormones, How I Lost My Fatigue, Hot Flashes, ADHD/ADD, Fibromyalgia, PMS, Osteoporosis, Weight, Sexual Dysfunction, Anger, Migraines, ... And then his other book, Adrenaline Dominance, A Revolutionary Approach to Wellness, which is a fascinating deep dive into adrenaline, which I feel like isn't really discussed that much and its pivotal role in many health conditions. Now, the life-changing thing about all of this is not only did reading those books just provide me with a foundational educational approach to hormones that I am so grateful for, but I immediately after reading them ordered Dr. Platt's progesterone cream. I switched over to using that. It's been incredible. I'm sure we can talk a little bit about that. But my sister, she has had PMDD, which is basically the really intense form of PMS that is accepted in the medical
world as, you know, something diagnosable in a real, quote, disease or whatever you would call it. She struggled with it for, you know, over a decade, ever since she's had a menstrual cycle, actually. I told her, I was like, Danielle, I was like, I think you should try this cream. I think it might actually address your PMDD. She was pretty skeptical because she's been trying to, quote, fix her PMDD for years. Like, it honestly makes her life hell. I finally convinced her. And within a few weeks, she told me that her PMDD was gone, like just gone. And I thought that was going to happen, especially after reading Dr. Platt's books, but I didn't want to get my hopes up. She didn't want to get her hopes up. So we are just blown away. And now every time there's a sale for this cream, I text her and she like stocks up. That was a really long intro, but that's just a testimonial to say that this hormone stuff really, really works. And that's just the progesterone. We're going to talk about adrenaline and estrogen and testosterone. So Dr. Platt, thank you so, so much for being here. You've already changed my life, my sister's life, and I think you're about to change many of my listeners' lives. Thank you. So to start things off, can you tell listeners a little bit about your personal story? You do talk about it in your books, but what led you to the importance of working with hormones, with, you know, bioidentical hormones, with your patients, and what led you to write these books and everything that you're doing today?
The thing that had the most dramatic influence on my life is that my mother died at the age of 61 of breast cancer. And right after she died, I realized that I had inherited her hormones. You know, most people do not realize that men and women have the identical hormones. Different levels, but the same hormones. And the reason I said that is that, you know, she had a belly on her. She had a lot of fat around the waist, but she was thin everywhere else. And the only thing that'll put on fat like that is insulin. And I know that every time I used to drive, I would have to slap my face trying to keep my eyes open. So I figured that I actually had increased insulin. And the fact that she had breast cancer, I realized that she was low in progesterone. So I thought, well, maybe there's a connection between the progesterone and the insulin. And I started using progesterone cream. And after I did that, ever since that day, I've never gotten sleepy in a car. So that really sparked my interest in hormones. And so I started trying to learn everything I could. And so I started incorporating bioidentical hormones into my practice. You know, what's interesting, if you ever read my books, you'll notice that there are no references in my books. You know, there's no references to other articles or books or whatever. And the reason for that is that everything I have learned from sitting down talking to my patients, which is actually called observational-based medicine, as opposed to evidence-based medicine, which I don't believe in. But in any event, but that's how I got started with hormones. And I realized after, again, dealing with thousands of patients, I started finding out about adrenaline and how that played a role. And we'll talk about that. Adrenaline is a hormone that most people have heard of, but nobody really ever talks about. And yet it's the underlying cause of many conditions felt to be incurable, like your sister's PMDD. You know, PMDD is, you know, premenstrual dysphoric disorder is all about adrenaline. Maybe right now your sister can attest to the fact that it is not incurable, even though doctors say it is, and whatever. So that's a little background.
So you just touched on, just in that story of what led up to what you're doing, so many different things affected by specific hormones that people might not anticipate. So you're talking about how you get sleepy while you're driving. And you talk a lot about the connection there with sleepiness and insulin and its relation to progesterone. You talked about, you know, the location of your mom's fat and how that affected everything. So all throughout your books, I mean, you basically link every single health condition to hormones. So a question about that, is it chicken or egg with hormones? So do the hormones go out of whack and then we get these issues, or is there something that happens and then the hormones get out of whack?
Or both. People need to understand that hormones actually control every system in the body is controlled by hormones. And you can readily understand that if hormones go out of whack, then the systems will start going out of whack. And as people get older, you know, their hormone levels drop. Except for men, with men, their estradiol level actually goes up. All other hormones go down. So I think it's the hormones going out of whack that have a great effect. But also, I guess there are certain conditions that can affect hormones. So that would be like the chicken instead of the egg.
So actually, I'm so glad you said that about the hormone levels dropping with age and then how it's affected in gender. This is a question that haunts me. So like menopause, for example, the fact that our hormones naturally, or women's, like whatever hormones drop in women and men, whatever hormones raise, what do you think is the evolutionary purpose there? Like, why do we stop making hormones if we need them so bad? Why does that happen? And then is it natural to bring them back if the body is naturally dropping them off anyways?
You know, it's an excellent question. I think humans probably were not supposed to live as long as they do live. And hormones are strictly genetic. In other words, you inherit hormones from both parents. So I don't think we're supposed to be living as long as we do. And so that's why the hormone levels drop off. I'm not sure. I'll be honest with you. But in terms of replacing them, it all comes down to what's called the quality of life. And if somebody's hormones are out of balance, creating a, you know, some physical issues, then it's worthwhile to replace hormones. You know, the question mark comes up about things like growth hormone, whether that should be replaced. And I'm not sure. Yeah, some people feel that growth hormone speeds up the aging process. So what's nice about something like progesterone cream, which happens to be my favorite hormone, there's no downside to it. You know, and because it blocks the three most toxic hormones in the body, you can see that it provides many benefits. Or maybe your listeners will see.
The episode I aired this week was with Dr. Valter Longo. He's a fasting researcher at USC. We talked about this menopause question, and he said the exact same thing that you just said, basically that maybe we weren't meant to live as long. And so these hormones naturally drop off because we're just not meant to live as long as far as like the reproduction and everything that happens with that. Okay, so progesterone, because there's so many ways we could go with this conversation, but what is progesterone? You just said that it blocks the three toxic hormones. What would those be? So what is the role of progesterone in the body?
Well, but most people think of progesterone as a hormone that blocks estrogen, and it does. And think about estrogen, and specifically estradiol. To me, it's a very toxic hormone. And the reason I say that, you know, it is the reason why women get cramps and PMS and breast tenderness with their periods, but it also causes fibroids and endometriosis and polycystic ovaries, and it causes gallbladder disease and asthma and migraine headaches and lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. And, you know, it causes blood clots, and also it causes six different cancers. So to me, you know, estradiol is a very toxic hormone, and progesterone is the hormone that blocks estradiol. And then the other, you know, insulin, you know, you can't live without insulin. But insulin is a hormone that it raises blood pressure, and it also is a hormone that speeds up the aging process. And then the other hormone that progesterone blocks is adrenaline, which is an important hormone, especially if you're in danger. But that's a rare incident. But, you know, and we'll go into the problems related to excess adrenaline, but it can be considered a very toxic hormone. The other thing is, you know, what I should mention is that all hormones are made with cholesterol. Not surprisingly, they find that women with the highest cholesterol levels have the greatest longevity. And yet, the number one selling drug are statin drugs to lower cholesterol. And this is in spite of the fact that 75% of people that have heart attacks have it with low cholesterol. I have to be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of our medical system, and especially big pharma. But I just wanted to reassure those people in your audience that have, you know, high cholesterol. You know, when I was in medical school, a normal cholesterol was 300, and they had much less heart disease then. But when they came out with the statin drugs, they couldn't get enough people on the drugs, so the drug companies lowered the upper limits of normal. You know, not the medical system, but the drug companies decided what was normal. So they immediately put it down to 260, and millions of people had to get on the drugs. They actually got the normal level down to 160 because they wanted to put children on these drugs. And we can talk about cholesterol later, but I just wanted to mention that because we brought up longevity. So
See, that is fascinating because normally I feel like it's the opposite in that a lot of the conventional ranges are, well, it's not really the opposite, but a lot of the conventional ranges are raised to adapt to a sicker population, you know, like raising the HbA1c or something like that. But wow, the fact that cholesterol, that's a huge change from 300 down to 160. That's really concerning. Two questions about that. One is, so we know when you were in medical school and it was a higher upper limit, do you think it even matters, like the HDL to triglyceride ratios or like those type of factors? Do you think there's been change with that? Or do you think the ratios are more important, or do you think it's about the numbers?
Well, HDL is probably important because it does help prevent coronary artery disease. You know, what's interesting about cholesterol is that the one thing I mentioned is that high levels are not necessarily bad things to have. But the other thing is, again, when I was doing my training, they used to call cholesterol the poor man's thyroid test. And the reason for that is that the thyroid controls cholesterol metabolism. And if somebody does have a problem with elevated cholesterol, the primary approach should be to just put them on thyroid rather than put them on a statin drug, which has so many side effects, you know, brain damage, memory loss, permanent nerve damage, irreversible kidney failure, heart damage, sudden death. I mean, these are all side effects of these statin drugs, which actually have very little benefit.
So people with lower cholesterol levels, is that like enough cholesterol to make all the hormones that you need? Like, where does the danger start with too low cholesterol and just not having enough raw materials to make hormones?
I would say anything cholesterol level below 160 would be of concern. The ideal cholesterol level for a woman is like 239. And yet the doctors consider anything above 200 as being high.
The other ones you were talking about, estrogen, insulin. So this was an interesting concept. I had not read this before, but you discuss how progesterone actually antagonizes insulin. Could you talk a little bit about that?
You know, a lot of people get sleepy between 3 and 4 in the afternoon. And the reason for that is that that's when insulin levels peak. And again, you know, a number of people get sleepy when they're driving, which is also a low blood sugar. What's nice about progesterone, and some people get sleepy right after eating, because as soon as you put food in your mouth, the body is putting out insulin. So the thing about progesterone is that it blocks insulin. So it prevents people from getting sleepy after eating, prevents people from getting sleepy in the afternoon, and prevents people from getting sleepy when they're driving. This is not actually a known benefit of progesterone, but now your listeners will know that it is one of the benefits. That's why when it comes to using progesterone, I very often recommend using it before meals as another way of actually controlling adrenaline. And the reason for that is that, and we'll discuss this later, but the reason why the body puts out adrenaline is to raise sugar levels for the brain. One of the ways of keeping adrenaline manageable is to prevent low blood sugars after eating. And that's what progesterone does.
So that sleepiness with the low blood sugar, my confusion is, do some people, it just stays low and they get sleepy, whereas some people adrenaline kicks in and then raises it and then they get alert again? Like, does adrenaline always jump in and help out with that?
Always, yes. You know, when a person is driving and they're getting really sleepy and like, as I said, I was just slap my face. It actually takes about 5 or 10 minutes for the body to release adrenaline and bring sugar levels back up. That's a long 5 or 10 minutes when you're trying not to go off the road. Yeah, so there is a time frame involved. So if somebody gets sleepy in the afternoon, you know, again, adrenaline will kick in and so they'll wake up again. But yeah, so there is a time frame involved.
What is, though, its actual purpose? Like, why do we have progesterone?
Interesting question. I think primarily, you know, it's sort of as a woman's hormone, even though it's not. You know, men and women, as I said, have the same hormones. But it's a hormone that its main function, actually, in women, is to get the uterus ready for pregnancy. You know, that's why it's called progestational. And women very often find that once they start using progesterone, if they're still menstruating, that they'll actually have heavier periods and maybe even spotting. And this is because what it's doing, it's actually healing the uterus. And it's a temporary phenomenon. Those kind of side effects go away. But like I say, a woman cannot have a successful pregnancy without progesterone. The number one reason why women have trouble conceiving is a low progesterone. The number one reason why women have miscarriages is a low progesterone. So again, in terms of conception, it's an incredibly important hormone. But what's not appreciated is its effect on other hormones other than estrogen.
Hi, friends. I'm about to tell you how you can get 20% off an incredible test, which will show you your true age. So you know how two people can be the same age, yet one seems to have more energy, better sleep, recover faster, all the things? A lot of that usually has less to do with your actual chronological age and more to do with your biological age. You've probably been hearing about biological age for quite a while. I'm about to tell you how you can figure out what yours is, and not only that, but also the pace of your aging, as well as a breakdown of how 11 key organ systems are aging, including your heart, your brain, your lungs, and your liver. That's why I am so excited to tell you guys about the True Age Test from True Diagnostic. I've actually had the CEO, Matt Dawson, on the show, and I am obsessed with what this company is doing. It is an at-home test that looks at markers on your DNA using epigenetics to determine your biological age, not just how many birthdays you've had. What makes the True Age Test so awesome is that you don't just get that one number. You also will learn how quick or slow your body is aging, including how the different organs in your body are aging, and you get over 75 longevity biomarkers translated into clear, easy-to-understand insights around things like metabolic health and immune function. So this is not just gonna throw a whole lot of raw data at you, you're actually going to get a more complete picture of how your body is functioning day to day in an easy to understand format. That includes personalized recommendations based on your results. So things like how should you address your sleep, your nutrition, your exercise, your supplements, your lifestyle changes. It is so incredibly enlightening. And the process itself is so easy. It's an at-home finger prick. You send it back in the prepaid kit, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you get your full report online. So if you're serious about longevity, or even just curious whether your body is aging faster or slower than your actual age, this is one of the easiest ways to find out. Right now, go to truediagnostic.com and use code MelanieAvalon for 20% off your entire order. That's truediagnostic.com, code MelanieAvalon for 20% off. And by the way, True is spelled T-R-U. So that's truediagnostic.com with the promo code Melanie Avalon for 20% off. How fast are you guys aging? Hi, friends. I have very exciting news. So I know you guys already know and love Element and understand the importance of electrolytes for hydration, energy, focus, supporting your fasting, your workouts, all the things. Guess what? Element has a product that goes beyond electrolytes. What is it? Well, so I am very pro the benefits of caffeine. I love the cognitive benefits, the longevity benefits, and that said, I am a slow caffeine metabolizer, so I don't actually take in lots of caffeine. I've also learned that the form, dose, and balance of caffeine makes a huge difference in how you actually feel. That's why I am so excited that Element has launched a brand new lemonade iced tea. It's refreshing, delicious, lightly caffeinated, perfect for summer, and what I really love is the science behind it. So instead of relying on massive amounts of isolated synthetic caffeine like so many energy drinks out there do, Element Lemonade Iced Tea uses a full black tea extract, so alongside the caffeine, you naturally get compounds like L-theanine and polyphenols. The L-theanine actually helps smooth out the stimulant effect for a calmer, steadier energy experience with less spikes and crashes, while the polyphenols provide antioxidant support as well. And you guys know I am all about the antioxidants. And the incredible team at Element, including my personal hero, Rob Wolf, conducted a meticulous amount of research to find the perfect amount of caffeine, which is the sweet spot for sustained focus and energy without feeling overstimulated or wrecking your sleep later. That is exactly 50 milligrams of caffeine. On top of that, They knew that caffeine can increase your need for critical minerals like sodium, potassium, and magnesium, so that's why Element Lemonade Iced Tea pairs the perfect amount of caffeine with a meaningful dose of electrolytes to support optimal hydration and performance. And of course, Element Lemonade Iced Tea is completely free of sugar, artificial colors, and all the other stuff that you do not want that are so commonly found in caffeinated drinks today. It's built on the same science-backed electrolyte formula that Element is known for, with sodium, potassium, and magnesium in ratios designed to support hydration and energy production. The result? You get your perfect pack of portable, easy-to-make lemonade iced tea that provides steady, clean energy that tastes delicious and actually feels good. As you guys know, Element is trusted by neuroscientists, functional medicine practitioners, professional athletes, including the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, and they're even used by Navy SEALs and the Marines. So are you ready to up your drink level with the ultimate lemonade iced tea? You can get it. And when you get a free 8-count sample pack of Element's most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase at drinklmnt.com/Melanie Avalon. That's right, a free 8-count sample pack of Element's most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase at drinklmnt.com/Melanie Avalon. Find your favorite flavor or share it with a friend. And by the way, Element has an amazing no questions asked refund policy, so you can try it completely risk-free. If for any reason you're not satisfied, they will give you your money back. Again, go to drinklmnt.com/Melanie Avalon for a free 8-count sample pack of Element's most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase, including their new lemonade iced tea.
So when I started using your cream, I started spotting. And when my sister started using it with the PMDD, it actually delayed her cycle. It was funny because I don't know if she wants me to share this, but she texted me and she was like, can it delay your cycle? And I was like, it probably can, you know, change things around a little bit. She's like, okay, because either she's like, my PMDD is either gone because of this cream or my cycle's delayed and I'm pregnant. And I was like, oh, well, we'll find out pretty soon. It was the cream, by the way. So questions about supplementing progesterone. You mentioned how it naturally drops with menopause and how no side effects and how it can bring all these benefits. I mean, because reading your books, I mean, it just seems to be like the miracle hormone that can do so many things, address so many conditions. Does supplementing with it, is there a feedback loop? Does that downregulate our natural production? Can we oversupplement? Are there side effects?
Well, in general, you cannot overdose on progesterone. You can actually use it, like 30 times a day. You run out of it, but you won't overdose on it. There's no such thing as a progesterone-stimulating hormone. So using progesterone will not lower a woman or man from making progesterone. You're familiar with PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome? And again, the cause of that is a low progesterone. And what happens is that the pituitary senses the progesterone levels are low, but the problem is there's no such thing as a progesterone stimulating hormone. So it just sends out a sort of a generic stimulus to the ovaries to make more hormones. So what happens is the ovaries cannot make more progesterone, but the stimulus makes them produce more testosterone and more estrogen. Women get all the symptoms of problems related to PCOS, turns of, you know, unwanted hair growth and acne and you know, cramps and whatever. But unfortunately, the progesterone level stays low. So the treatment, of course, of polycystic ovarian syndrome should be to get progesterone. And once the levels go up, then the pituitary will stop sending out those other stimuli and the testosterone level goes down, the estradiol level goes down. But most women with PCOS are treated with birth control pills, which actually prevent them from making progesterone. You know, doctors get no training in hormones. And the reason for this, again, is that, you know, doctors are not trained to treat the cause of illness. You know, basically our whole medical system is controlled by drug companies who thrive on disease and illness. And so the less doctors know, the better for the drug company. Anyway.
So with the PCOS thing, I also had Dr. Benjamin Bickman on the show and we talked about PCOS and he was positing that high insulin is the cause of PCOS. I mean, if you're saying that progesterone lowers insulin or antagonizes insulin, I mean, that whole narrative would go together. With there being no stimulating you know, signal for progesterone. Is that unique in the different hormones? Do the other hormones have an individual signal, or is it always just a signal to create hormones in general?
Well, no, it's not specific to progesterone, but it is important to understand that, you know, insulin resistance is considered part of PCOS. You know, that doctor was correct, but I don't believe it's the reason why women have PCOS. I think it's the insulin resistance is more related to the progesterone situation.
It's kind of like the analogy I'm thinking of. I don't know if this is an appropriate analogy, but it's kind of like omega-3s. So people, you know, we might see all these benefits to omega-3s, and a lot of people might eat massive doses of farmed salmon when really you're not going to get concentrated high dose of omega-3 in farmed salmon. You're also going to get high omega-6 and saturated fat. The alternative would be to just, you know, take like krill oil or get the pure omega-3. Maybe that's a similar comparison. So estrogen is actually often prescribed though in conventional medicine for various health conditions, as are synthetic versions of progesterone. So what are your thoughts on current conventional system and how it prescribes hormones and hormone replacement?
You know, people may have heard the term bioidentical hormones. Now, bioidentical means that the hormones that are being prescribed are identical to the hormones that the body produces. Now, why this is important is that the way hormones work is that they attach to hormone receptor sites on different cells. And the only hormones that can really attach to these receptor sites are the bioidentical ones. So you can always get more of an effective type response using hormones that the body recognizes rather than the synthetic ones, which are the ones that are generally used. The problem with those kind of hormones that you're mentioning is that they prevent women from ovulating. The only type of birth control that I ever recommend is what's called a copper 7 IUD, which is non-hormonal. So it doesn't affect the woman's hormone. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of birth control pills. Yeah, really, you know, anything that prevents the body from making progesterone, I don't recommend.
I was telling my mom, because she has a lot of hormonal issues and things that she struggles with, and, you know, I'm trying to turn everybody onto your cream, so I was trying to convince her to take your cream, but she had been told that she needed estrogen because her estrogen levels were low. So I think that's a dialogue that's happening a lot between patients and doctors. Do you think there's ever a time for supplementing estrogen?
Well, remember, you know, estrogen or estradiol to me is a very toxic hormone. The only reason why a woman needs a high level of estrogen is if she's trying to get pregnant. That's the only benefit of a high level of estrogen. Now, when it comes to estrogen, there are basically three different types of natural estrogens. There's estradiol, there's estrone, and there's estriol. And the only estrogen that I recommend is estriol. And the reason for that, it's the only estrogen that doesn't cause cancer. In fact, it's so safe, they've used it to treat breast cancer because it takes up estrogen receptor sites and breast cancer cells and prevents the stronger estrogens from attaching. But also, estriol is the only estrogen that is effective for vaginal dryness, which sometimes is a problem for women after menopause. Yeah, so there are ways of resupplying estrogen, you know, that will help with, you know, the skin and hair and whatever, and without giving them the toxic effects of estradiol. And estradiol is the most common estrogen that is replaced after the menopause.
The one that you like is the one that's commonly prescribed?
No, the one that I like is not commonly prescribed, and that's it.
So estradiol is normally prescribed, but you like estriol?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Is estriol even available as like a pharmaceutical prescription?
Well, it's available by prescription. It's also available over the counter. We have a therapeutic strength of estriol on the website.
So say a person is, which I feel like this is probably a rarer case, because after reading your book and just from what I've seen, it seems like estrogen dominance seems to more often be the issue than low estrogen. But if a person was low estrogen and they supplemented progesterone, for example, what would happen in that case?
Well, it's not going to harm them at all. Yeah, I mean, progesterone is safe whether you have estrogen or you're not taking estrogen, because it, well, you know, so many benefits. You can't harm anybody with progesterone.
You talk in the books about how like there are progesterone sites all over the body. So people might experience, you know, different effects based on the receptor sites. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that.
Now, are you talking in terms of side effects or are you talking in terms of just effects in general?
Both.
Okay. In terms of side effects, there are a lot of progesterone receptor sites around the nipple area. So some women may experience some tenderness around the nipples when they first start using progesterone. This is, a temporary phenomenon that goes away. But aside from that, the only other side effect, are you familiar with something called type 3 diabetes?
Yes.
And for your listeners, type 3 diabetes is another term for it is insulin resistance in the brain. What that means is that the insulin in the brain has a real hard time getting glucose into the brain cell. And why it's important to have knowledge of this is that it's probably the number one precursor to Alzheimer's. The thing about Alzheimer's, it's really a disease of prevention. So progesterone, one of its benefits is that it does create some degree of insulin resistance, which is why it prevents people from getting sleepy when they're driving or sleeping in the afternoon or sleeping after eating. But if somebody already has insulin resistance in the brain and uses progesterone, it will increase the insulin resistance and make it even harder to get the glucose into the brain cell. And as a result, the body immediately starts producing, sending out extra adrenaline to raise sugar levels for the brain. And so people that have type 3 diabetes or insulin resistance of the brain, as soon as they put on progesterone, they'll have an immediate outpouring of adrenaline. And so they get palpitations or a lot of muscle tension or anger and whatever. That is actually the only side effect of progesterone. And it only happens in people that have that condition. But the benefit is that they don't have there's no way of testing for type 3 diabetes. There's no test for it. But the actual test for it is using progesterone. And if they get that kind of reaction, then people can be alerted to it. And once you know that you have insulin resistance in the brain, there are things you can do to prevent the onset of Alzheimer's. It's actually a good side effect or a beneficial one because it can diagnose a condition that has no test for it.
So if you take the progesterone cream and you get like anger and palpitations and that response, it might be a sign that you are in the type 3 diabetes world. That's fascinating. The normal response to progesterone, I touched on it earlier. Like I originally was taking oral progesterone and I was talking with one of my nurse practitioner friends recently and she was talking about taking oral progesterone. But you talk in the book about the potential downsides of oral progesterone and how it can be converted in the liver to other hormones. So what is the difference in people taking oral progesterone versus a cream?
Because the progesterone is taken orally, it'll actually passes through the liver before it gets into the general circulation. And once oral progesterone gets to the liver, it converts it into another hormone called allopregnanolone. And allopregnanolone is not progesterone. And one of its major side effects, it makes people very sleepy. And this is why it's usually prescribed at night. But people should understand this is not progesterone. The difference is that when people use a cream, which is considered like a transdermal type administration, is that the cream goes directly into the bloodstream and bypasses the liver. So it goes to all the receptor sites before it goes to the liver. You know, doctors, again, receive no training, and especially when it comes to hormones. So they're not aware that oral progesterone should never be used.
When you put it on transdermally, does it go to receptor sites close to where you put it on, or does it have a systemic effect?
Oh, it's completely systemic. Even though you put it on the arm, most of progesterone eventually winds up in the brain, actually. And when the fetus is in the womb, by the way, it's progesterone that actually helps the brain to develop. When the fetus is in the womb, it gets exposed to incredibly high levels of progesterone, incredibly high level. I mean, levels that cannot be duplicated. So while we're talking about this, you know, some women have a fetus that does a lot of kicking. And those fetuses that do a lot of kicking, that's adrenaline, by the way. And these are usually the babies that when they're born, who will have colic. And colic is strictly caused by adrenaline. And what's nice about progesterone is that you rub it on the baby's belly, the colic goes away in about 3 minutes. So you don't have to stay up all night with a crying baby. And again, giving progesterone to a baby is exceedingly safe because when the baby was in the womb, it got exposed to incredibly high levels of progesterone.
Do hormones cross the blood-brain barrier then?
Well, yeah, they do.
Okay, and have all their effects. For listeners supplementing the progesterone cream, is the protocol to put it, you know, a thin skin area? Can you put it on the same area multiple times? Do you need to switch around sites? How does that work?
Yeah, you know, but most people that provide progesterone recommend rotating sites. I don't. You know, probably the most easily accessible place is to apply the progesterone to the forearm, and you rub the two forearms together. Now, what I do recommend is that every so often that people scrub their forearms with a loofah sponge. And what that does, it gets the cream out of the pores. Now, you don't have to worry about the receptor sites because, again, the cream goes directly into the bloodstream and goes all over the body to the receptor site. So you don't have to rotate. But it is recommended that every once in a while to scrub the arms just to get the cream out of the pores. And I'll talk more about dosage when we talk about adrenaline. So
this is sort of a random question, but are hormones created in both for women, like the ovaries and the pituitary?
And the adrenal gland.
And the adrenal glands. So is there any difference in the actual hormone? Like, does it matter at all where they were produced from or not?
No, where they're produced from is not important because, again, different hormones are produced, like fat cells produce estrogen. So it doesn't matter where they're produced, they'll be the same hormone.
I'm so fascinated by fat cells and how basically once you start heading down the road of accumulating, quote, unhealthy excess fat that is producing estrogen, I mean, it's sort of just like a self-perpetuating problem because, I mean, I'm guessing, because then it kind of tells us, you know, does it release hormones, like release estrogen and encourage even more fat accumulation?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't know why fat cells would release estrogen, but the estrogen probably does get into the bloodstream. The thing about estrogen, it's what they call a lipogenic hormone, which means it creates fat. And it puts on fat usually around the hips, thighs, and buttocks. And it's where cellulite comes from, is from estrogen. Progesterone, on the other hand, is a thermogenic hormone. It helps the body to burn fat. But the thing about progesterone is that you don't want to put it over fat cells because when you put it over fat cells, it can actually increase fat.
Oh, it can?
Yeah. So that's why, you know, applying it to areas of the body where the skin is thin is better.
Hi, friends. Would you like to have the most epic eating experience? I'm talking eradicate bloating and better absorb your nutrients. If so, you need digestive enzymes. These are one of my most favorite supplements out of everything I take, and I truly cannot imagine my life without them. Digestive enzymes are key to break down your food into usable nutrition and to stop things like bloating, digestive distress, constipation, all the things. That's why I created Avalon X Digest, and you can get 10% off with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at avalonx.us. You can also get a subscription and save 15%, which you can pause or cancel at any time. Friends, I worked so hard to create the perfect blend of enzymes for Avalon X Digest. It's a full-spectrum, plant-based enzyme blend with proteases to help you break down protein, amylase for carbs, lipase for fats, cellulase for fiber, and so much more. In fact, there are 13 different types of enzymes in this blend. I cannot tell you how many people have told me that when they take Avalon X Digest, they experience no digestive distress with meals. These are truly game changers. And for any of you guys looking to up your protein intake, Avalon X Digest will help you actually break down and assimilate your protein so you get more protein from your meals. I wanted to create the highest potency enzymes so that you get all of these benefits when you eat with no problematic fillers or ingredients. Avalon X Digest is also tested multiple times for purity and potency, comes in glass bottles, and is truly the best enzymes on the market. And again, you can get 10% off with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at avalonx.us.
Oh, interesting. Do you know why it would increase fat?
That's a rabbinical question.
A what question?
A question you have to ask the rabbis because they know.
Oh, okay.
They have to answer to everything.
Okay, I'll write that down on my to-do list. Okay, so we keep teasing adrenaline. So your book, Adrenaline Dominance, is fascinating, especially you provide a really, really fascinating approach to something a lot of people, and maybe even more than we think, struggle with, and that is ADHD. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about adrenaline. Wait, really quick question. Is adrenaline a synonym for epinephrine, or are those different?
It is. No, they're both the same.
Okay. So what is adrenaline? What have you discovered in its connection to ADHD and the different types of ADHD?
Well, adrenaline is actually a hormone as well as a neurotransmitter. It's both. And it affects the body differently, whether it's the hormone or the neurotransmitter that's being affected. The thing about ADHD, there's a lot of misconceptions and misinformation about ADHD, but what people don't realize is that the most intelligent, successful, creative people in the world have ADHD. Just about all doctors and lawyers have ADHD. And the thing about adrenaline is that adrenaline, as a neurotransmitter, is what gives people intelligence. So, most intelligent people will have increased adrenaline. People that have the most adrenaline are creative type people, actually. And we'll talk about that. But when it comes to ADHD, what people may fail to realize, it's not a learning disorder. It's an interest disorder. In other words, people with ADHD have no trouble focusing on things they're interested in. If they're not interested, they'll have a hard time focusing. And the reason for that is that the adrenaline, again, as a neurotransmitter, speeds up the mind. So, and this is why people with a lot of adrenaline very often talk very quickly. But if somebody with a lot of adrenaline, if they're not interested, they get distracted very easily. So, but actually, and if a child has ADHD, that means that one or both parents have ADHD because it's always genetic, always. You could actually eliminate ADHD within 24 hours just by lowering adrenaline. You know, they put kids on drugs like Ritalin, Strattera, Adderall, and these drugs all have side effects like sudden death. And if a child doesn't have ADHD and you put them on one of these drugs, the drugs will give them ADHD. And the reason for that, they're strictly, you know, they're pure adrenaline. These drugs are all stimulants. That's why a lot of kids don't like it because it numbs their brain is what it does.
The conventional ADHD drugs are adrenaline, even though we were just saying how adrenaline, high adrenaline is the cause. So if it does help a person, a kid, like how is it helping?
For whatever reason, it may actually be causing a drop in the body's own production of adrenaline, but they numb the brain, which allows, I guess, kids to focus better, but they don't feel good on these drugs, which is understandable.
Well, it's so interesting. So speaking to what you were just talking about, the focus issue and the interest issue being a thing. So I read your books and I had this new view of it. I was talking with my friend and she was saying that her son, they were trying to tell her that he had ADHD. And she was saying that he can focus. He can focus if he really likes doing it. She's like, he just doesn't like focusing if he doesn't like what he's, you know, what they're trying to get him to focus on. And I was just like, oh, that's what Dr. Platt said in his book. So for a child, and maybe we can talk about adults too, with ADHD, you said the answer is lowering adrenaline. Can that be done through supplementing progesterone with children?
Well, yeah. You know, progesterone, remember, it blocks adrenaline. But the primary approach to dealing with people that have increased adrenaline is actually to treat the reason why the body is putting out adrenaline. By the way, I should mention, I had classic ADHD when I was a kid. I used to get up and walk out of class. I couldn't focus at all at school. It wasn't until I got into medical school that I started studying because I was interested in medicine, but there was nothing in high school or college I had any interest in. So I can relate to these kids that have trouble focusing. You know, what happens is you just wait till the night before the exam to study. And because the adrenaline, you know, provides intelligence, you can pass your test. You don't learn anything, but you get by.
So how do we lower the adrenaline?
Well, what makes it relatively simple is that there's only basically two reasons why the body puts out adrenaline. You know, one is if you're in danger. You know, they call it the fight or flight hormone. But danger is a real, it's a very unusual, it's not a very common reason why the body puts out adrenaline. What people do not appreciate or realize is that the main function of adrenaline is to provide glucose, sugar, to the brain. And again, what people don't realize is the brain actually uses more sugar than any other tissue in the body per weight. And anytime the body detects that the brain is running out of glucose, it automatically puts out adrenaline to raise glucose levels. Now, what this infers is that the way to approach problems with increased adrenaline is just to provide the brain with the fuel that it needs so the body doesn't have to use adrenaline to provide the fuel. And that's the whole premise behind treating problems related to excess adrenaline, is give the brain the fuel that it needs. Now, the brain uses two different fuels. I mentioned glucose. And the best source of glucose for the brain actually comes from vegetables. Now, you don't think of glucose as being a great source of sugar. You don't think of vegetables as being a great source of sugar, but they're carbohydrates, and all carbohydrates break down into sugar. We're talking about vegetables. And what's good about vegetables is that they're low glycemic for the most part. Low glycemic means they don't produce a lot of insulin. You know, candy and soda are great sources of glucose, but they're high glycemic. They produce a lot of insulin, which actually lowers sugar and defeats the purpose. So, and green vegetables are like almost like zero glycemic. They produce very little insulin. So that's why vegetables are a good source of glucose for the brain. Now, the other fuel, which is probably more important, are ketones. And most people have heard of what they call a ketogenic diet, which I don't recommend, only because it's a very difficult diet to accomplish. But you can get ketones directly from coconut oil or something called MCT oil, MCT, medium chain triglyceride oil, which is derived from coconut oil. The coconut oil is best used for cooking because it has a very high heat threshold, and MCT oil has no flavor, so it can be added to anything. Many people have heard of bulletproof coffee, which has MCT oil in it. So if people are providing fuel to the brain throughout the day, now keep in mind that the brain can use up fuel as quickly as 3 hours. So throughout the day, you know, some form of vegetables, some MCT or coconut oil, and especially before going to sleep and eating something before going to sleep. And the reason for that is that adrenaline peaks at 2:30 in the morning. This is because the brain runs out of fuel right around 2:30 in the morning. And a lot of people wake up at that time to urinate because adrenaline gives people that urge to urinate. Some women have what they call an overactive bladder, you know, where when they have to go and they run into the bathroom. And some women lose urine while they're running to the bathroom. They call it their urgency incontinence. But an overactive bladder is strictly adrenaline and, again, very easy to fix. So people can wake up at 2:30 in the morning and get that urge to urinate. So that's why it's important to eat something before going to sleep. And where progesterone cream comes in is that it helps to block adrenaline and it blocks insulin. So that's why I advise using progesterone before people eat, and especially before going to sleep, and to help control insulin. And helping control insulin is another way of controlling adrenaline because it prevents that hypoglycemia.
When you're using the progesterone to control insulin before eating, how long does that effect last in the bloodstream where it's affecting insulin?
Well, progesterone is in the bloodstream for only about 5 or 6 minutes, but it attaches to receptor sites. And that's how hormones do what they do. So the effect of progesterone could last for hours, actually.
Okay. The effect on the insulin?
On insulin and adrenaline and estrogen, yes.
With the adrenaline, because I think when people think adrenaline, they think stress hormone. What is its relation to cortisol? Do they go hand in hand? Are they completely separate?
Well, no, they do go hand in hand. Adrenaline is a stress hormone. It's, you know, when people have stress, they have a lot of adrenaline. Now, what's interesting is that I mentioned that adrenaline peaks around 2:30 in the morning. And remember that the reason why the body is releasing adrenaline is to raise sugar levels. And, you know, a lot of people are concerned about weight. And when people are either eating sugar or the body is making sugar, if you don't burn it up, then the body takes that sugar and stores it in fat cells. it gets converted into fat. Now, when the body releases adrenaline, it creates stress to the body. And the body responds to stress by putting out cortisol. And the first thing cortisol does, it also raises sugar levels. Now, adrenaline does it by a process called gluconeogenesis, where it converts protein into sugar. The thing about cortisol, it raises sugar through another process called glycogenolysis, where it converts glycogen into glucose. But the point is that while people are lying in bed, now they're putting out two hormones that both raise sugar levels. And I am 100% convinced that this is the number one cause of weight gain. You know, when people are trying to lose weight, they don't realize that most of their weight is coming on while they're sleeping or trying to sleep. So I just want to mention that. So cortisol, you know, again, is not a happy hormone. You know, it can cause osteoporosis. It you know, causes weight gain. It damages the immune system. So, you know, they have a condition called adrenal fatigue, which your people may have heard of. And adrenal fatigue is it's a naturopath diagnosis. And the reason why they're the ones that diagnose adrenal fatigue is that they do saliva tests on hormones. And the thing about adrenaline is a survival hormone. And as part of the survival response, it cuts off blood supply to areas of the body that are not needed for survival. You know, when people experience cold hands and cold feet, that's not a low thyroid, that's adrenaline. And it also cuts off blood supply to the intestines because they're not needed for survival. And that's what constipation and irritable bowel syndrome comes from. And also it cuts off blood supply to the salivary glands because they're not needed for survival. So the hormones don't get into the saliva. So when they do a saliva test, they find low cortisol levels in the morning when they should be high. And based on the low cortisol levels on a saliva test, they diagnose adrenal fatigue. And their whole approach to adrenal fatigue is to raise cortisol levels when they're already high to begin with. I just want people to know that adrenal fatigue is a non-existent condition. And that's why I never, ever recommend saliva tests for hormones. Just never makes sense. Yeah. So cortisol, again, just like adrenaline, is not a happy hormone.
I mean, that's a paradigm shift right there, because definitely the term adrenal fatigue is, I mean, casually thrown around all the time in the health circles. So the adrenal glands, do they ever become fatigued? Do they ever stop producing hormones?
There's a thing called adrenal insufficiency, where the adrenal glands don't produce hormones. This is not related to, and that's not adrenal fatigue, that's adrenal insufficiency. And another term for it would be Addison's disease. And that's a serious condition that needs to be treated with hormones. But again, if anything, the adrenal glands don't become fatigued. They become, again, overactive. And they can actually hypertrophy, get larger.
Hey, friends, I'm about to tell you how to get 10% off the ideal coffee when it comes to supporting your health. So if you guys know me, you know I am obsessed with optimizing basically everything I consume, and that especially relates to coffee. Did you know that coffee is one of the most powerful sources of antioxidants in the modern diet? And yet, not all coffee is created equal. Between sourcing, farming practices, roasting, and contaminants, there can be a huge difference in the health impact of the coffee that you drink. That is exactly why I created Glow Coffee. Glow Coffee is a premium, specialty-grade Arabica coffee sourced from sustainable women-led farms in Colombia. It's organically grown, and we third-party test it meticulously, like every single lot, for purity. And what makes Glow especially exciting from a biohacking perspective is that we specifically made it to be rich in chlorogenic acid, or CGA. That's one of coffee's primary, most potent antioxidant compounds that has been studied for its role in metabolic health, inflammation, oxidative stress, and so much more. The elevation levels of the beans, how they're grown, and how they're roasted all affect CGA levels. So we searched high and low to find the perfect beans naturally high in CGA and tested them to confirm that, and then we roast those beans to preserve the CGA content. And then test after that as well. Coffee is already one of the potentially biggest contributors of antioxidants in the human diet, so I designed Glow Coffee to maximize those benefits while keeping it incredibly clean and high quality. And this coffee is so clean. It's grown organically, of course, but then we go even farther than that. We third-party test the beans for almost 100 toxic compounds, including pesticides, heavy metals, and mold. Oh, and perhaps the best part is it is absolutely delicious. We're talking smooth, low bitterness. It's honestly the exact coffee I personally want to drink every single day of my life. It's so bright, smooth, and delicious that it's also perfect black for fasting. No added sweeteners or cream needed. You can also splash it on your face for an antioxidant-rich toner. I do that every single day. After the sauna, after the shower, all the things. I created Glow Coffee because it's really about upgrading one of our most common daily habits into something that truly supports your health and performance. You can get 10% off with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at glowcoffeeco.com. That's 10% off Glow Coffee with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at glowcoffeeco.com. Are you ready to glow inside and out? Fuel your day, illuminate your way. That's glowcoffeeco.com.
This is a super random, granular question, but so you were talking about people on lower carb diets or ketogenic diets. So in a stress state with adrenaline and cortisol trying to raise blood sugar levels, would it matter at all if you were glycogen depleted? So like if you were following a low carb diet and say your glycogen stores were depleted, if cortisol works by glycogenolysis, would a low carb state mean that adrenaline is the preferred hormone for raising blood sugar levels, or does the diet you're following and your glycogen stores not really even relate to that?
I personally have never run into a problem that I was aware of that was happening. What you're talking about logically makes sense that maybe there could be an issue with that. But again, since I don't deal with I don't put people on low carb diets, maybe that's why I haven't run into an issue with it.
So with the MCT oil, are you concerned at all about energy toxicity if people are, you know, having a carb-rich diet, but then also bringing in the substrate of ketones, or does it work pretty well for your patients?
Well, you know, everybody's different. You know, for example, you know, some people do a lot of exercise. When people are using their muscles, the muscles are burning glucose also, just like the brain burns glucose. So sometimes, you know, diets have to be adjusted to make sure they're getting enough carbohydrates. But I haven't yet, you know, it's not that complicated. You know, just make somebody have, you know, 2, 3, 4 tablespoons of coconut oil or MCT oil per day, and at least in the beginning, and eat some form of vegetables throughout the day, and use the progesterone cream. In 24 hours, there'll be a dramatic change. 24 hours is all it takes. You know, people that have road rage from adrenaline can get rid of it in 24 hours. You know, bedwetting in children is only caused by excess adrenaline. And you only see that in creative type children. And again, because I mentioned creative people had the most adrenaline, but you can get rid of bedwetting in 24 hours. So yeah, I like simple. I like easy. I don't like complicated.
What about, I was actually talking to you about this offline, but what about vegan diets? Can they support healthy hormone production?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the only thing vegans have to be concerned about is vitamin B12, because that's only found in meat. So that should be added to their meal plan. Yeah, so yeah, vegan diets are actually perfect, you know, because they provide the glucose.
Is low cholesterol an issue if somebody's following a vegan diet, or like, you know, a low-fat, plant-based vegan diet? Will they have sufficient cholesterol to make their hormones?
That's an interesting question. I don't ever, you know, fat is not the enemy, even though we've made it the enemy, but it's not the enemy. You know, fat is the only food substance that doesn't stimulate insulin production. You know, insulin is what creates fat around the middle. So, you know, ever since medicine took over weight issues, we've had an epidemic of obesity because they put everybody on low carb diet.
Or low fat diets?
And both, yeah.
Oh, low carb as well.
Yeah.
Oh, so you think low carb is creating an issue?
Oh, no, actually, well, more importantly, the low fat diet, I think, created a lot more problems.
I don't know if there's like a word for it, but I've heard there's like a critical window of, I think, progesterone supplementation, like, or maybe it's just bioidentical hormones in general, like a certain age where if you supplement during that age, then it will have beneficial effects. But if you don't, then it might not be beneficial later. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does this ring a bell?
Well, no, I've never heard that.
Oh, okay. Fail. I'll have to look it up. It has something to do with like needing to supplement hormones at a certain time. And I think it had to do how it related to menopause. And then if you did it later, that it wouldn't have the same effect. So I'll have to circle back on that. some questions to like kind of bring everything full circle. Why is there all of this controversy in the conventional medical system with, you know, supplementing with bioidentical hormones?
Well, yet you remember, they get no training in hormone doctors, you know, and the doctors that have the least knowledge of hormones are actually gynecologists, who are the ones that are supposed to be taking care of women. People don't realize that. But anyway, I guess, you know, there was some concern, you know, over that women's health study, which indicated that, you know, combination of estrogen and progestins certainly increased the incidence of breast cancer. That was an honest type concern, because they did. I think doctors, for the most part, are uncomfortable with hormones because they don't know anything about them. You know, like I said, they've had no training, and you know, some doctors that go for a weekend seminar and think they know about hormones, but you know, I'm just saying that they haven't been trained in hormones, so that's why they don't feel comfortable with it.
Well, just to dispel some of the myths, so I just want to get super clarity. So like, for example, you sell your cream, so people can just buy that. They don't need a prescription. How is that different from a type of hormone that you would endorse that would be prescribed through a compounding pharmacy? And like, what is the FDA's involvement in all of that? I think there's just a lot of like confusion out there about about everything.
Yeah, our hormones are bioidentical, and they're not sold under a pharmaceutical license. They're sold under a cosmetic license in terms of the manufacturing. So they are, you know, otherwise people would need a prescription. Now, the only hormone they will need a prescription for is testosterone, and that's a controlled drug. And testosterone, let me tell you something, it's an important hormone, you know, especially, you know, not only for men, but for women also. You know, the number one cause of death in women is heart attacks. And they occur 6 times more commonly than any other cause of death. And when women go through the menopause, you know, they have stopped making testosterone, and the heart has more testosterone receptor sites than any other tissue in the body. So I believe testosterone is important for women after the menopause. They cannot have a libido without testosterone. The only other hormone they need for libido is progesterone. They need both hormones for libido. And but I think the reticence that doctors have when it comes to hormones is they just don't know them or understand them.
With the testosterone, I learned so much in your book about all of that, especially, well, dispelling two myths. One, that, you know, it's testosterone is thought of as like a male hormone, and you don't really think about it for women who may be low. And then on the flip side, progesterone is thought as a female hormone and not often thought of as something that men could benefit from. You did make an interesting point about how, regardless of how low a male's testosterone levels are, if they have a sex drive, you don't ever prescribe testosterone. Is that correct?
Let me tell you, so when it comes to hormones, you could never go wrong treating a patient, but you can go wrong treating a lab test. So I feel always more comfortable about, you know, treating people rather than lab tests. Yeah, so when it comes to hormones, they provide wellness to people. I remember I had a patient that came in to me. He was 47 years old. And the reason he came to see me is because every morning he would wake up and vomit. And the only thing that'll cause that kind of vomiting is adrenaline. And needless to say, he also has severe fibromyalgia, which is also caused by excess adrenaline. So we started talking, and I had some progesterone on my desk, and I put some on his forearm, and he rubbed his two arms together. And we continued to talk, and about 5 minutes later, he sat back in his chair, and he looked at me, and he said, "Doc, in my entire life, I have never felt this good." And that's only just after 5 minutes. And since he left my office, he never had another episode of vomiting. I guess the point is that when you treat the cause of illness, you know, you can provide a real interesting quality of life to people that they weren't experiencing. And that's very rewarding. And doctors, unfortunately, very rarely see that, you know, where a doctor, patient says that they've never felt better. But anyway, so people need to realize hormones are important. Now, when it comes to men, you know, men stop making progesterone right around the age of 50. And if you think about it, it's after that age, you know, when men get into the middle age, they start putting on weight around the middle, you know, and that's because they have no progesterone to block insulin. And then they start getting prostate cancer, which is caused by estrogen. And because they have no longer have progesterone to block estrogen. So, you know, hormone replacement, you know, is important, but you know, you have to remember we live in a country where they do not allow preventive medicine. There is no preventive medicine in this country. And that's why the United States is on the bottom of the list of healthcare of all civilized countries. We have the highest incidence of every known medical condition, and even including infant mortality, we're at the top of the list. We don't have a good medical system. And I'm going to get off my soapbox.
I cannot agree more, as can most likely a lot of my audience. And that's a really powerful story that you just shared. And I mean, some listeners may be skeptical, but I'm telling you, like, my sister, I saw it, you know, something that she struggled with for 10 years and thought she was going to have for the rest of her life. And it's just gone. I think you said in one of your books, you get this question, like, is it really that easy? And it can be sometimes.
It's like fibromyalgia. You know, there are over 4 million, maybe around 8 to 10 million people in this country that have fibromyalgia, you know, which is basically a pain condition. And basically, they've all been told that there's no cure for it. But, you know, you can't cure a condition unless you know what's causing the condition. And that's the problem, is that doctors are not trained to treat the cause of illness. But with fibromyalgia, you know, it only takes like 3 days, and if they're eating well, or up to 3 weeks to get rid of it. So I don't know.
So speaking to that, you know, the lack of knowledge with the doctors and the super importance of treating the patient and not the test results. So for listeners listening, if they are struggling with, you know, any of one of the numerous conditions that might be linked to, that probably is linked to hormonal issues and that might be addressed by like progesterone cream, for example, is it okay for them to just, you know, try and get the cream and experiment with themselves, or do they need to be working with a practitioner?
No, they can't harm themselves with it. You know, let me explain some symptoms a person might have if they have a lot of adrenaline. First of all, they'll have trouble sleeping. They may have trouble falling asleep. They may have trouble staying asleep. Some people grind their teeth at night. Some people have what's called restless leg syndrome. You know, that's all adrenaline. And when people have a lot of adrenaline, they'll find they're quick to anger, a little short fuse. They might experience cold hands and cold feet. They may carry a lot of tension in the back of the neck. And that muscle tension can cause headaches and also can cause tinnitus. And tension in the neck from adrenaline is probably the number one cause of tinnitus. And when it comes to headaches, you know, a lot of people think they have migraine headaches. But what I have found is that almost 100% of people that I have seen who thought they had migraine headaches actually didn't have migraine headaches. They had a different type of headache called occipital neuritis, which arises from the occipital nerve sheath at the base of the skull. And it causes excruciating headaches. That's why they're always mistaken for migraines. And very often the headache shoots right into the back of the eye. They can take their thumb and press into the base of the skull. They'll find a very tender spot. That's the occipital nerve sheath. But again, it's caused by increased adrenaline causing muscle tension on that nerve sheath, and very easy to fix as opposed to migraine headaches, which are not easy to fix. But, you know, people also get Botox injections, you know, to get rid of occipital neuritis, but they're thinking that they're migraine. But it would be a lot simpler, instead of using a toxin, a poison, they can just reduce their adrenaline. So the back of the neck is a real good place for progesterone cream when people have a lot of tension there or in the upper shoulder. Normally, it's put on the forearm. You rub the two forearms together. People that have what's called restless leg syndrome, they could put a pump on the top of each thigh and massage it in. And 30 seconds, the restless leg syndrome will go away. Some people get cramps in their calves or feet. Again, that's also adrenaline. And you just have to massage progesterone into the cramp. So, and I mentioned, you know, babies that have colic, you just rub it on their belly and go away in about 3 minutes. And it's just a very safe hormone. You know, they have a thing called an overactive bladder in women. Again, that's adrenaline. And I mentioned the urge incontinence. So, you know, road rage and bipolar disorders and PTSD, it's all adrenaline. And every condition that I've mentioned can be eliminated or greatly benefited by lowering adrenaline. And the primary approach to lowering adrenaline is to give the brain the fuel that it needs. And the progesterone is the icing on the cake, because it blocks adrenaline, blocks insulin, and whatever. So
the progesterone is systemic, but if you have an issue restless legs or tension headaches, you do benefit more from putting the progesterone closer to that area?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. Well, I bet listeners are probably really, really excited to try some of your progesterone cream. So your website, is it plattwellness.com, correct?
That's it. Yeah.
I'm super grateful. So you have a discount code for my audience and you can use the coupon code Melanie Avalon to get a discount on your purchases. I'm going to be using your progesterone cream for life, probably as will my sister and everybody else that I turn onto it. I cannot thank you enough for everything that you're doing. I mean, reading your books, like I said, was just so eye-opening. I honestly wish everyone could read these books and make changes in their own life accordingly. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on that we didn't address?
Well, if people do have an issue with excess adrenaline, on my website, they'll also find a meal plan to lower adrenaline, if that's helpful for them.
So. Oh, awesome. Perfect. Well, so for listeners, I will put links in the show notes to everything. Again, the show notes will have a transcript and the links, and that will be at melanieavalon.com/hormones. Thank you so much, Dr. Platt. Well, first of all, thank you. Listeners don't know this, but we spent like almost an hour before this trying to get connected. So the most valuable thing I think you can give somebody is your time. So I so appreciate your time, everything that you're doing. The last question that I ask every guest on this show, and it's just because I realize more and more each day how important mindset is. So what is something that you're grateful for?
I have to mention my wife, who's been tremendously supportive for a lot of stuff that I've gone through. And that's about it. Yeah.
I love that. Again, well, thank you so much. I'm so grateful. This was just absolutely amazing and I can't wait to air it. We'll have to stay in touch. And yeah, I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay. And tell your sister she should be on the meal plan.
I will. I already texted her about all this. I was like, you got to do this stuff. So I will tell her right after this. So thanks, Dr. Platt.
My pleasure. Adios.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast. For more information, you can check out my book, What When Wine, Lose Weight and Feel Great with Paleo Style Meals, Intermittent Fasting, and Wine, as well as my blog, melanieavalon.com. Feel free to contact me at podcast@melanieavalon.com. And always remember, you got it.